The Rangers are rolling since Friday's trade deadline, winning their last three games, including a 1-0 shutout in Carolina Tuesday from Igor on his mom's birthday. Me, Molly, and Brooksy react to the win streak and the deadline deals for Wenberg and Roslovic, and a little bit Ruido. Plus, did Matt Rempe deserve a four-game suspension? And I have my pseudo-semi-boiling point for the week. It's all coming up on a new episode of Up in the Blue Seats from the New York Post next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you direct your attention to center ice for a special presentation.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I'm Brian Boyle, joined by my co-host, Rangers beat writer for the Post, Molly Walker, and our Hall of Famer from the Post, Larry Brooks, is here with us. We got a lot to talk about today, reacting to the Rangers trade deadline moves, three straight wins, big wins. Since we spoke last, but first, happy birthday, happy belated birthday, Molly Walker.
Thank you, Brian.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys. Yeah, the big 2-7.
What'd you do?
On NHL Network, the guys were messing with me. They were like, yeah, Molly just turned 18. Get out of here.
What'd you do?
It was good. We obviously the Rangers were home, which was the first time in like the last couple of years that I was home for my birthday. I've spent it in St. Louis. I've spent it in Buffalo.
Lovely.
So I have to say that New York City just kind of trumps both of those cities.
Well, Molly had a birthday week. I mean,
that's what they do now, Larry. That's what
events,
they're doing.
You know, it's an event every day. You know.
I know. Larry's fascinated by this. He really is. But, you know, we gotta make an excuse to have fun. Why not?
I hate my birthday.
Oh, well.
It's not for me. Just like a reminder.
Oh, stop it.
Not it.
Oh, stop it.
And Igor's mom had a birthday. Can someone explain this to me? I mean, everyone has birthdays, right?
Well, yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, Igor was cracking jokes. You know, I guess posting back-to-back shutouts will do that to you. But yeah, he said that it was his mom's birthday the night of the Hurricanes game, and that was the reason why he couldn't have a bad game. So, but right. what an unbelievable couple games he's had, and honestly, just a stretch in general from his turnaround and from January to February, he's looking really good, and the Rangers are going to need that down the stretch.
Yeah, I think with Shesterkin playing the way he is, the Rangers look like the Rangers now.
Yeah,
they're playing well, and I don't know whether you know they filled in a couple of pieces at the deadline. I don't know that. You know, maybe it's the deadline is passed and you know, they've got their group and they're going. But against St. Louis, against New Jersey, against Carolina, three different tiers of opponents, kind of, the Rangers have been sharp. I mean, they've really played well. They've played well without Trouba. Keandre Miller and Braden Schneider are playing really well together as a pair. Zach Jones has been outstanding since he's come in. They're playing harder. They're playing with more snarl. They're playing with more physicality. They're getting good goaltending. You know, they're rounding into a team that does belong at the top of the league, as they have been just about all year. You know, it's kind of like the eye test hasn't always equated to the standings, at least through my eyes. And I've said that all year that their record is something, but they need to improve. They need to do this. They need to do that. They look like they're in stride right now, and they are preparing for the playoffs.
Well, I like the fact that they won the games they're supposed to win. Right? They went and beat handily. They beat St. Louis. They went in a sort of an emotional. It's always emotional against the Devils. They beat them, and then they had a challenge on a back-to-back, and their back-to-back record is ridiculous. I don't understand that. And that is a stat. Like that is, and it's
10-1-0, right? I believe
it's contradictory. Like what we saw when they kind of were going through their stalls in the middle of the year where, you know, they, some days didn't have the emotion, didn't have that, you know, that grind or that pushback. And the fact that they're 10-1 in the second half of back to backs just kind of blows that theory out of the water. Like this is when it's tough, when it's harder. I mean, back to backs, I don't care. They're hard. Mm-hmm. It's not, especially if you're playing a rested team. People don't realize that. It's a split second here and there. That adds up to like we were awful tonight. And they've been great. 10-1 is not a small sample size. So that against a good team that people were like, this might have got them over the hump post trade deadline, the Carolina Hurricanes. It was stifling. And I mean, Igor's been, he's been,
Rangers, you know what? The Rangers have been really good in Carolina for a long time.
Yeah.
They play very, very well in Carolina. There is essentially no, other than the matchups, which become extremely important, obviously in the playoffs. But other than the matchups, there is no home ice advantage in Raleigh for the Hurricanes.
Not with the amount of Ranger fans that are down there.
I mean, I you know, the way they played last night, they played tough. And I you know, Carolina, Shesterkin was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't seem to be the amount of pressure Carolina always puts on. You know, they're always firing pucks to them. They're always going to the net. They're always funneling everything to the front. There wasn't that kind of 60-minute game last night. There were stretches in which the Rangers, you know, had to defend in their own end, but I think they're clicking. they're playing really well.
Larry's like, dare I say this?
Careful, Larry.
I know they have a game.
Careful, you're going off brand here.
Well, how about the goal? The goal was like a Carolina Hurricanes goal.
Yeah,
it's shot volume, so retrieval, shot to the net from a D man from an angle, and it's in the net. That was a, you know, it was a great play. You know,
talking about the D man and talking about the D, I think Fox has played with more snarl to his game recently, and I thought last night he did.
Oh yeah,
he and Lindgren are playing as well as a pair mm-hmm. as they have in a couple of years, I think.
And
I think, and I think, you know, Adam's kind of fallen below the, you know, the Norris conversation this year. He's not quite in it, so maybe people forget about how good he is. But his game is his game is becoming more complete every day. You know, he's back to where he was.
Right. Well, keep in mind, like he got injured. He's not 6'6". He's not Victor Hedman, right? He's not the handsome Swiss guy in Nashville who just carries the puck everywhere and does everything for that team. He's
that
not
what you called him when you were teammates?
I call him Yost. We're buds. I call him Yost. He's not, you know, he's not Cale Makar, who's just so explosive.
Right.
He's a lot of his game is subtlety.
Right here. And it's up here.
Yeah. And so if he's off a little, okay, but he's still putting together, he's back, right? He's got more snarl, like you said. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that that's the team that injured him earlier in the year. He was going to push back a little bit, but he's back to that level.
He crushed Aho into the boards in the final minute and a half. I actually was on the play where he blocked the shot, right? Where he dived and got a piece of the puck with a stick. And then he creamed Aho. And I don't think it was a coincidence.
People don't forget.
I don't think it can be understated or overstated enough, I guess I should say, how they've filled in for Trouba. And now with Matt Rempe's suspension, Johnny Brodzinski comes in. The fact that they've been able to play that the way that they are on this three-game stretch here with depth players, while integrating new faces into the lineup and getting the goaltending that they've been getting. This is the time that you want everything to start clicking on all cylinders, for things to start falling into place, to test your depth for down the stretch. Mm-hmm. So I think this has just been a really pivotal stretch for them. But let's get into the Rempe suspension, we can have a little round table about that. Brian, I do want to toss it to you first.
Oh, my All right.
Lay it on us. Go ahead.
When they prior to their meeting a couple days ago, their last game at the Rock was probably a game when the final buzzer sounds, Tom Fitzgerald picks up the phone. And that's what happened. They got Curtis McDermott for a reason. So you'd expect, you know, regardless of what they're going to do now, and Tommy Fitz made some moves, I think, that were a bit of a head scratcher. And then when you look at it from far away, it makes sense for down the line, the next few years. The nucleus is there, whatever. But McDermott, there was one reason for that.
Singular.
So, and I give Rempe credit. He doesn't have to do anything. We talked about this on the NHL Network yesterday. Mike Rupp called in. He doesn't have to do anything. Plays hard, plays physical, finish your checks, do whatever you have to do. And you don't have to fight. And they had control of the game. He didn't have to fight McDermott. Matt Rempe did not. When you do a flying elbow, which I thought, honest to God, I have been in that situation where you're going really fast. You want to finish your check. You want to keep your spot in the lineup. And the boards are coming up quick. So you brace for the boards. He clipped his head. I still do not think it was intentional. I think a suspension was 100% warranted. I did not like what happened after. And the only part about that I didn't like was the waving. Mm-hmm. So I'll give him credit. I'll even say that it was such a melee and all the stuff was going on. There's bodies flying everywhere. The linesmen are in there grabbing. The fight might not have been able to happen. You don't want to get in a fight where he has the jump on you. He has your jersey. He's ready to throw a punch and your stick's still in your hand. You don't want to do that. I've been in that situation. It's not good. Look, he wants to win fights he's in and he wants to do it on his terms. He's earned that right because of who he's fought. But if I'm Curtis McDermott, I would feel the exact same way, I think.
And he expressed himself accordingly after the game.
Yeah, but I don't blame him either.
Yeah, no,
he brought there for a reason.
Yeah.
And the guy wouldn't fight him, and he's probably upset about that. And the only part he's probably upset about is after the high hit, he thought he deserved a fight. And
well, they also wanted him to answer for the Bastion hit too.
But there's not, so those aren't, you can't put all these things in a pile and say, well, he did this, it was borderline, this, it was borderline, and then this. No, this elbow was the elbow. That's why he suspended. I think four games is too many, by the way.
Yeah, I was really, I just was kind of, I think I said to Larry that just no shade, but shade to the Department of Safety. It was either going to be one extreme or the other. It was either going to be one game or five, I thought. I genuinely thought it was either going to be on one end of this, one far end of the spectrum, or the complete other one. And four even still surprised me. For
was a lot.
First time offender, even though, you know, in technicality, but, you know, not literally.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
No, it's a literally.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know. In technicality, yes, his first hearing, but the weeks that he's had, like, he's been on their radar, you know, like.
But those were clean. The Bastion hit was 100% clean.
I agree.
Hit.
I agree. But
his fault is huge.
I know. I agree with that statement 100%. But I do think that because of all the noise and because of, you know, the track record that he left behind him, the trail of bruises, as I said, literally, that's exactly what I wrote. It obviously was on their radar, and I'm sure that they were waiting for this. It was going to come. It was inevitable when it was going to come, and they threw the book at him a little bit. They wanted to, you know, slow him down. They wanted to, you know, bring him back down to earth, because Lord knows he has not been on earth. He's been riding this wave, understandably so, but I definitely think it was harsh. But at the same time, I see the optics. I see what they were trying to accomplish. But again, the inconsistencies, the no precedence that this Department of Safety has is just a whole different discussion. And that's why it's not surprising to me.
All right, Larry, what do you got?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, listen, I think the suspension was probably twice what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an example or representation of George Parros punching down in weight class. He would never do this to an established guy. It would never happen. And I think they, you know, they were trying to send a message, you know, whatever it was. I think it was unfair, but I also think in the long run, it would probably benefit Remy. I don't mind it. You know, yeah. I think that it gives him a week to kind of to reset, to decompress. It gives the Rangers a week to work with him hard at practice and get his game, you know, and get his game on track. And it is on track. I mean, but, you know, work with him on, you know, on just work with him. And because he's so raw, he's right. just so raw and, you know, he's so enthusiastic, but I do think that his promotion and Edstrom at the same time, but Rempe has become this, you know, larger than life figure. I do think that his recall sent a message to the team and has changed the way the team plays.
100%.
I do. They're a much more physical team since he's been here. And I, you know, I a couple of the moves they made at the deadline, Wennberg's not a physical player. Roslovic's not a physical player. So they're not more physical because of the deadline. They're a more complete team, but they mm-hmm. play with much more of an edge now. They do. And
it's
and
contagious.
And what I thought it is, and what I thought was really interesting was last night in Carolina, Laviolette talking about how they were missing two players, how they were missing two physical players in Trouba and Rempe. And I think that's an indication for people who just think that, you know, Rempe's a sideshow and he's here for, you know, 2 weeks and he'll never be in the playoffs. I think Laviolette wants him to be on the playoff line. I don't think there's any doubt that Laviolette wants Rempe to be, you know, to be capable enough to play in the first game of the playoffs. And I think, you know, when you see him in the small sample sizes, he is effective. Their line's always in the other end. Mm-hmm. They're like always below the hash marks. They're rarely caught in their own end. They're rarely trapped. You know, you can look at the numbers, and obviously it's a small sample size. He's been on for four goals for, only one goal against, you know. But every time he's on the ice, and certainly at home, you know, there's excitement, there's a buzz in the crowd. You know, the only time, the last time I can remember that, and it was a really short time, the Rangers got Pavel Bure at the trade deadline in 03. And the rest of that season, every time he touched the puck at the Garden, people got up. He was electric. It was just electric. It was the last year, I think, he had two good knees or, you know, one and a half knees. But it was electric every time he came onto the ice. It was like, well, what's Bure going to do? And
that's what it's been like for Rempe.
And that's what it's been like for Matt Rempe. And he brings a different dimension. And the Rangers have a little bit of a different dimension. And I wrote about this today in Post Plus for the subscribers. The Rangers have been a white collar, white gloves franchise forever. They're the team of Jean Ratel. You know, that's Jean Ratel, Roger Gilbert. You know, you go on and on. Brad Park, you know, who could scrap. But, this was always the skill team. They got beaten up by the Bruins in the late 60s and early 70s. They got beaten up by the Flyers in the early 70s. It's a lineage of Rangers being bullied. And so now they finally have this guy. And, you know, and there's an uproar around the league. And as somebody who sat in the side balcony of the old Garden on geo cards when I could get in, when I could buy a ticket for 50 cents, and somebody who had a season ticket in the blue seats in section 419, it's kind of like, I'm looking at Rempe and I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. We've got somebody, and this is, you know, this is the fan. We've got somebody on our side.
Yeah. Wow. This is a real treat, everybody. Larry never talks about the fan side.
No, I've never heard
That's what I see. That,
you know, look, even Brian's like, wow.
No, it's great.
That's right.
Brian's going to run through the wall right now for you. That's how hyped he is.
And when I was there, we tried we took on a bit of the personality of a coach. And
yeah,
it was a close group because the games weren't easy, the practices weren't easy, and the meetings weren't easy for all different reasons.
Yeah.
But we won a lot of games. And then when we had time to ourselves, we were very close because of, you know, the stress that we were put under, which was great. It ended up being great. Now, he comes in and he has one way to play. And it is straight lines, finish everybody. If somebody gets hurt, this is grown men playing ice hockey professionally, okay? People seem to be forgetting that. And it's starting to bother me a little bit because there's going to be injuries. And the fact that he's getting torn down because of his size bothers me.
Yeah.
I have a little sensitive spot in my heart for that. And growing up, you know, for my whole life up until I turned pro, it was like, you can't, even after in college, if I would yap at somebody after the whistle, I would get talked to or benched for a shift by my coach. Like that physicality, that intimidation factor wasn't allowed. It was incredible to me when I turned pro how, like, oh, we can impose our will on people and figure out different ways to intimidate people. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And this guy is doing it, and he's bringing other guys with him. They have a little bit of it, and you're going to see it more from other guys because everybody's walking a little bit taller. That's why Lavi wants him in. Now he's got a week. Puck touches are a big thing. When you're not playing a ton of minutes and you're not really allowed to make plays, you get that, you get those touches in practice. Try and make it as real as possible. When they're allowed more call-ups or when the playoffs start, there's going to be more guys on the ice. He's just going to keep getting better and better. He is so raw. I think there's something there. Like, his game can grow. Somebody made the comparison to Tom Wilson. His first couple of years in Washington, he was straight lines, speed, physicality. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be 30 goals, 25 goals, but this guy is a problem for other teams, and other teams know it, and there's nothing they can do about it. So their fan bases are whining, and that's all they can do. Like, I did a top five of the Western Conference yesterday, and the amount of Vancouver fans, like, I like Vancouver. I really like their team. I got friends on their team. I left them off my list. Well, there's six teams in the West that could, yeah, if they won the West, no one would be surprised. And these people are such babies. Vancouver fans, you're all babies. You need to shut up. Leave me alone. If your team does well, that's great. I hope they win. They're going to win. Whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But this kid, it's the same thing. They're all whining because they literally can't do anything else. They can't get another guy. They can't make their team go after this guy. There's no other thing they can do. So they're like the little brother at the dinner table crying to mom and dad that the big brother's picking on them. So if he can harness some of this and toe that line and not go over that line, he's going to be a problem. It's a great thing.
That's what it's going to be about for him, is towing the line and just recognizing his spots. And I
also, Brian can talk to this, but it's also coordinating his body parts. And, you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, and you can, you're as, you know, good a person as any to identify and talk about it. I mean, there, you know, it's just like I wrote this morning, is it possible to look clumsy and be, you know, to be at the most elite level of a professional sport? He looks clumsy, but obviously he's not clumsy. He's in the National Hockey League.
Right. The little deficiencies are big, look worse. And like, mm-hmm. I didn't play a ton of games in college, but I was playing 20, 22 minutes every single night in college working on that. And then I went to the minors and I worked on that. Then when I came up, not playing a lot, it's kind of hard. You're not really, you're cold. You're sitting for a little while. You got to go out and it's like, go hard. How fast he can skate for the minutes that he plays and how big he is. I think if he gets better and plays more, he's going to be faster.
Yeah.
So that's what excites me about it. I don't care if he scores 30, he's going to be a faster player. He could be, I mean, in my mind, an elite penalty killer. He's going to be such a problem. Other teams' D are going to, you know, bang out sick that night at some point if this goes the way I think he can go.
Meanwhile, the Rimpy Flu, that's a good one. But meanwhile, I mean, you talk about the production. He almost had a second goal the other night. And
that was a goal. I know. I don't get it.
He almost did.
It looked like it was in.
Hell of a pass from Barkley Goodrow, who's playing great. He got white tape on his stick now. Never a good sign when you see the guy with weird tape. It's like, if I notice it, then he's doing something because it's up here. He made two great passes, one to VC, and that one was right in the wheelhouse. That was a heavy little one-time snapper.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been a goal. Put that on the screen on Gustafsson's goal.
That was my next thing.
Doesn't go in the net.
And watching the replay, I mean, he battled. He can battle in front.
And he won the faceoff.
He's not a one trick pony at all. But man, in particular on that screen, God, I would hate to be a goaltender trying to see over that. I mean, it was astounding. It was such a spectacular thing to watch unfold. Just all 6'8" of him, like. What a miraculous screen. It's exciting.
Well, you know, the interesting thing too, is he's such a phenomenon because it seems as if he just came out of nowhere. Like, you know, it's not like he was in the national spotlight and, oh, this 6'8" kid is making his way to New York. And
right.
And
like everybody's anticipating like him. There was no anticipation.
And it's kind of like, you know, so people are just almost startled. You know, he just showed up. You know, it's like Joe Hardy, you know,
like Buddy the Elf through the Lincoln Tunnel. No, I mean, Bookaboom was talking to me about him actually prior to the season. We got a guy. So he's obviously been on their radar. They've known quite a bit about him and they've known the potential there. And now we chime in like we know what we're talking about. I love it. Their schedule right now is kind of wild. So yeah. The good news about this is it's not going to be a lot of days where he's out. The poor guy gets fined. That's bullying from George Parros.
Forfeited like $17,000, something like that. A little over.
That's a lot when you play in New York,
and that's a lot for him in general. I mean, it's a lot for any normal human being, but like for him, you know, just getting started, it's a tough amount to forfeit.
Actually, before we get to their schedule coming up, let's go. Like, what have you guys seen? I mean, I know what I've seen. I kind of like where they're all slotted now, but what do you got from Wenberg and Rossovich? And I can go and talk a bit about Chad Ruedel. I play with him in Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fit so far, especially Roslovic on the top line. I feel like, I mean, not only is Mika playing lighter because now he got that 5-on-5 goal out of the way, first one since December 23rd, if anybody needed him. A reminder, but they're... Just as a line in general, they're playing lighter. They're looking to go north. Roslovic's contributions on the forecheck have been, you know, pretty invaluable in a short sample size. Same thing with Wenberg, just makes the lineup longer, which was, you know, the goal all along in getting a center. I liked the moves, especially, you know, not giving up as much as some other teams gave up for marquee guys. Drury avoided overpaying. I think it was a pretty good deadline for the Rangers. I do.
I think it completes their team pretty well. I'm not sure why they didn't get involved at all at Hanifin. I would have liked to have seen them spend a little more time on maybe adding on defense, but the two guys, the guys they got, the two forwards they got, are good fits. I mean, Wenberg's a really good player. He can move up, and I assume at some point in the, you know, at some point during games he will move up. Laviolette really likes to versatility. It wouldn't shock me if there are shifts where he even moves up to the right with Kreider and Zibanejad, and Roslovic maybe goes into the middle for some shifts on the third line. But Roslovic brings pace also to Zibanejad and Kreider, and that's what I think they kind of need more than anything. You can talk about what style of player should be there, you know, should be on the right. Should it be a big grinding guy? Should it be a shooter? I think they just need a guy who plays with pace. And Roslovic's very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are very intelligent. So I think it'll be a good mix. They haven't really had a practice yet, have they?
They haven't had a regular practice
with this team. So
I think Wenberg has had one.
Wenberg had one,
but the other guys
hasn't skated other than morning skates. That's been it. Or actually one morning skate because the first one he just showed up. So I like that. I think Wenberg's a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruedel, you can talk to.
Chad Ruedel is like, if 14 minutes of just grind, he's physical, he's right shot, he's a good penalty killer, and he's just ultimate Pro. He is zero maintenance. He is a guy that I think Jones can look at and learn a lot from. I think any young player can look at how he just handles his business. I think he at times could have played more in Pitt and didn't say a word. There were training camps where was he going to go to Wilkes-Barre or was he going to stay up? This guy is the same guy. There were times where he played on the second pair and we had a bunch of penalties. He played 22 minutes. Same guy every single day. Zero ego, physical, not a tall, huge, hulking guy, but is, I mean, when you play against him, it's no fun. So he's a guy that's obviously how he's been used so far, lack thereof, it's a depth pickup. But when there is, I think it coach trusts this guy. Playoff series is how I look at his contributions are going to come in a playoff series at some point. I know it.
You know what's interesting to me is that they got a right defenseman at the deadline, Ruedel. They had a right defenseman go down, go down at Trouba. And instead of putting Ruedel in, where he would have slotted naturally, just throw him on the, right side of the third pair with Gustafsson, they went with Jones because he had been there all year. And I think that speaks to
Absolutely.
mindset. That really speaks to what Laviolette wants for this team and what they have kind of become. I don't want to over dramatize it. Every team has its own story. Every team is unique and is unique. But this team is really close. And that's something that from the minute he took over, and again, Brian, you can talk about it because you played for him and you've talked about this before, but it's the sense of unity and the sense of loyalty to each other. I think that that Laviolette and the coaching staff has worked on all year. And so you see, Zach Jones has been scratched 45 times. He's a young player. He wants to play. He just wants to play. He needs to play, but not everybody gets to play in the NHL, but he wants to play. He wants to play. He comes to practice every day. He skates after at the morning, the off season. He's there every day. And so after being scratched for 45 out of, the first 61 or whatever it was, there's an opening. He's going in and he's playing well. And so that's, I think, that represents a lot of what this team is. And it's you can drill it down to their post-practice hugs. That's what this is about. It's about them. It's about them being as a unit, and that's the way they operate.
I don't think there's a chance in hell you can win if you don't have some aspect of that. And Lavi
They
can
need
bring
it.
that. Yeah. It's too hard. And it gets harder. And when you are that close, you don't want to let your teammates down ever, really. You play for a number of different reasons. You play for the people that got you there, but you don't want to let your teammates down. You got to scratch and claw to find a little extra sometimes. And, I'm not at practice. I don't see that. I saw what I was surprised that after the injury, he didn't go in. Rudy didn't go in and play. Talked to Dave Maloney about it a little bit. And he said, this guy's been a good soldier. You got to put him in. We don't know what that could
True.
do in there if he's just going to him or to the rest of the guys. And that's the right call. And that's Lavi's very good at understanding, the personal aspect of the game. He's great at bringing guys in. I got traded there. He was great at bringing me in and making me feel so much a part of it right away. And it's like, might sound cliche, but it's true. Been traded a couple times. It's not, doesn't happen everywhere. Yeah, it was interesting to me to see that Jones has been in and out. It's not as much a surprise that he's played so well because, I mean, if anyone's earned the time, it's him.
It's well deserved. And I mean, I've spoken to Jones a couple times this season just about what the difference has been for him last season to this season. And I mean, he just talked about having a completely different attitude about the role that he was going to have and the role that he is being charged with. The sense that I got is last season, it was just kind of he kept waiting for it to happen for him, kept waiting for him to leapfrog up in the depth chart, but this season he kind of came into it saying, if I get a certain amount of games, that's the amount of games that I get. And, you know, I'm going to make every single one of them, you know, count and do and fill the role that I need to fill here. So his entire mindset has been different this season. And I feel like it's been his best season yet.
No question. Well, it's good for him at the right time too.
Yeah. And I won't hold it against Chad that he's a UMass Lowell guy. I told him that, so we're okay.
Kind of like this, you know, it's all the same. It's all the same. A couple Lowell guys in the league right now, which is...
It's not the same, but it's okay.
Same Zach, to BC. Zach, to Zach BC Chuck. Guys, they're all the same.
Zach, shut up. You know what, Zach, I don't even want to say Jonathan Quick because, and I was actually talking about this with Chaz, UMass was probably such a blip on the radar for Jonathan Quick, but for the rest of us, it was such a big part of our lives, but it's okay.
Well, he was good there. All right, we got Thursday at Tampa, Saturday at Pitt, and Sunday, that's home versus the Islanders?
Yep. Yeah.
And the Jets Tuesday. 3 out of 4. My poor Pitt. They stink. Like, they're so bad right now. Yeah. Just lost to Ottawa. But you got Tampa, guys. That's going to be a big game at Tampa. I'm excited to see that. Tampa's in trouble.
They could sweep the regular season series against him, which I actually, for some reason, I wasn't sure when the last time that that had happened, and I thought maybe it had been a long time ago, but it was actually 2 seasons ago when they went.
Really?
Yeah, during the regular season they swept Tampa before they lost.
You know, what's interesting about Tampa. You know what's interesting about Tampa is that you look at Tampa and it's almost a concept. And, you know that they built their program and you know they won their cups and they've been such a formidable team and organization for a long time. That I look at Tampa and I think of Tampa more as Tampa, not just the team on, you know, their players on the ice now, but you still have to beat Tampa. You know, the Rangers could wind up playing them in the first round. And I just think that's a difficult assignment.
It is
a difficult assignment to go in there and, you know, maybe the shine, you know, has finally, you know, will have finally worn off.
That's still going to be a tough matchup,
like
though.
The same, but you know, and obviously, you know, they're not what they were. But you never know, you know, the heart of a champion. You know, you just never know when it beats, and you know,
that was beautiful, Larry.
It would be a series for the Rangers. I think they would be favored to win, but it would be a very difficult, first round for them.
Yeah, no, Vince Collin and I were talking about all the possibilities that they could have for the first round, and of all of them, the Red Wings, the Islanders, I think that Tampa, it would be the most difficult matchup for them in the first round. 100%. I think that they would rather play any of those other teams.
Well, the Islanders would be crazy. It would just be a crazy.
I mean, that would just be fun. Yeah.
I don't like them either. They would scare the way they're playing.
It'd be very difficult to even handicap because you know there's just so much that goes into that.
Yeah,
it'll be a tough game on Sunday, and you know what, they will miss Rempe in that game. Yes. They will
100%. I just think, I mean, it's league wide though. I mean, the amount of teams that have had dips for stretches and gone on heaters for stretches. Yeah. What are you going to get? So like even for Tampa, for example, Hedman, Kucherov, Point play at their highest level. Vasi plays at his highest level. Do you want to face that? You got to expect that if you're the Rangers. You know, I think Hedman's had a great year and so has Kucherov. The other guys, not as much. You get a few more of those guys buzzing.
Yeah. No, they're a tough team. They're a tough team at their core. Even though it's not the same core, they're still a really tough team. And I think they're the toughest matchup for the Rangers. 100%.
Yeah, this
in the first round, at least.
Duclair might be a sneaky, sick pickup.
Good pickup, yeah.
We'll see. Tuesday, you'll see Johnny Quick one of those games at least, right?
Probably
one of the back to backs, maybe, or
definitely one of the back to backs.
Saturday or Sunday, yeah.
It'll be a fun week, lots of games.
Actually,
I love
we'll probably see Quick in Pittsburgh now that I'm looking at it.
I think he plays the first one, like that's what they did.
Do.
That's what they did.
Well, he also shut them out. He also shut them out in Pittsburgh. It was actually one of his best games of the year. One of the Ranger goaltenders. Yeah. Best game of the year.
I'd be curious to look up when the last time Igor played in Pittsburgh was since.
Oh, we lit him up.
Yeah, since the 2021-22 playoffs, how many times he's played in Pittsburgh?
Didn't quite light him up in games.
All right,
five,
I
six,
was.
And seven.
I got hurt.
Quite. I mean, I you know, he won three.
I know.
But yeah, when did you leave? The game six.
Game six, I went out and
game
blew
six.
Trouba up.
Yeah.
Hit him so hard his skate came up, kicked me in the arm, cut me open there. I didn't even know it though. My knee tore a little bit, meniscus. Sid told me not to, and I did it anyways. I couldn't. That was the most I've ever seen red, I think, before a game. Like after a game, practice, and then a new game, I still was
seeing red.
Yeah, and I wanted to. I mean, I hit him hard. He got right back up and played. Nothing happened. But
yep,
I was surprised he got up as quick as he did because I really got him good. But
yeah, that's
big boy,
number eight.
Yeah, that was an elbow to the head. Anyways.
Anywho.
We'll let Larry go. Appreciate it, Larry.
Yeah.
Great seeing you.
Yeah,
can't let some things go. But good stuff today.
Rangers
we got,
and stuff.
Yeah, right. We got Boiling Point coming up next.
All right. See you later.
Thanks, Larry.
To be honest, today it was my mom's birthday. So I couldn't play bad game tonight. So.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, today's Boiling Point is a little bit different in the sense that I understand fandom and I understand people having a loyalty to their team if they feel slighted. But if you see like a little blurb of who I think maybe the top five teams that are going to come out of the West are, and your team's not on there, just do like a 10-second search on the clip where I say like there's six or seven teams that could win the West and it wouldn't surprise me. Like cherry picking stats and going at people who talk about sports on TV with the idea that they're picking on you or your team and your fan base doesn't get any breaks. I'm looking at you, Vancouver. Like, I understand you think you're getting picked on. You're not. You got a great team. Canucks are a great team. I have friends on that team. Just leave me alone. I'm trying to do a job. You know, I got kids. I'm just trying to do a job. Inform the people of what I think. If I ask you, I'm sure you're going to root for your Vancouver Canucks. You love them. There's other teams that are very good as well. Like, anyone can come out of the West. That's a great thing. That's great for the game. Stop yelling at me and calling me names. It's hurtful. All right. I'm doing my best. I hope the Vancouver Canucks do well. I hope you have a bad day though, because you're being mean to me. I'm sick of it. But I understand the fandom and I actually love it. I respect it. I wish more teams were like that. There'd be more passion in the game. We get it here in New York. We get it here in the New York area with those three teams and in Boston and Philly. Can't say it doesn't annoy me sometimes. All right. So it might not be boiling over, but just like leave me alone on Twitter. All right, thanks.
At the end of the day, it's just these are teams that we're going to have to beat. And regular season, whether we're first, third, doesn't matter. It's we want to beat these guys. We want to beat every team in our division. We want to be the best.
And that will put a wrap on episode 149 of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. Molly, again, it's just two of us. So we're going to dish out our three stars of the week. Our third one will be a joint star. What do you say? What's your first star?
Got to give it to my fellow UMass man, Zach Jones.
Jonesy.
Really impressed with the way that he's been able to step in. I mean, he didn't play for over a month, and that's tough.
That's brutal, yeah.
That is so tough.
It's a long time.
It's a really long time. And then for him to step in and play the way that he has, I mean, the D hasn't missed a beat. He's looked great. Just a really good sign for the Rangers in terms of their defensive depth. And we haven't even seen Rui et al. And, you know, we talked about how amazing that's been from Laviolette to show faith in Jones. And good story.
He's a pro. That's a professional, you know. And look, if it doesn't work out down the line, or if he wants to be moved, so that's a great sign that he's come in and played well under those circumstances. So, yeah, great.
Oh, his stock is
great
up.
Call.
His
100%. I got a star. They're going to share the star, though, the goaltending. Igor gets the most of the star, but Johnny Quick, again, not resting on his laurels. Got his extensions, playing well. But Igor, a couple bagels in a row, you got to give him some love. So good for him. He's figured it out. That's huge for the Rangers. We got a joint star.
Number 93.
There you go. Mika March.
Number 93. We have officially entered Mika March.
You'd rather Mika May, wouldn't you? Just go on a tear in May.
Yeah, I think the Rangers would rather Mika May. But in order to get to Mika May, Mika March needs to happen.
Let's get a Mika Spring going.
Yeah. We can rebrand it. No, I mean, seriously, it was time.
Yeah.
The 5-on-5 goal, the relief all over his face. And I think since then, you know, he looked lighter out there. And that's
Sam Rosen call.
It's a 5-on-5 goal. Yeah.
There was no secret. Good for him. Awesome. Yes. Here it is, as always. Many thanks to Jake Brown for producing the show, as well as intern Dan Shalom. I screwed that up again. Sorry,
it's
buddy.
Okay.
Hey, Danny boy. Appreciate you. He's not even on here. You can catch up on all the episodes of the podcast by subscribing to Up in the Blue Seats on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on the New York Post Sports YouTube page. Subscribe there. Give us a thumbs up below on YouTube and comment below. How do you feel about the Rangers trade deadline moves? You can also follow us on Twitter at Molly Walker. That's 2 E's and 2 R's. And at BriBrows22. For Molly Walker, Larry Brooks, I'm Brian Boyle. Peace.